But what is Moody's man? Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's mammon.
Yep.
We're Moody's men. But this is about magazine on RTR. Good morning, this is Woodage Mag here on 92.1 RTR FM and Noongar Radio. Today's program is all about some dreadful issues that have been dealt with or we are dealing with in our community, the Noongar community, and issues that should be of concern to a lot of our listeners, and that relates to Bankshear Hill and our young people being locked up in adult prisons, as in Casuarina. And there's been a number of things said in the press in the last week, in fact, 3 months. So we've got a number of guests today that you'll hear from. Daniel Morrison, who's related to me, he's co-chair of Social Reinvestment Western Australia, and he's been taking a strong leadership in the issues surrounding Bankshear. We'll also have Anna McGlade, a regular friend of Moorish Mag, a human rights lawyer, talking about how she sees Bankshear Hill. And finally, the previous president of the Perth Children's Court, who spent 14 years working in the Children's Court, to give his thoughts from a non-Aboriginal perspective on what should be happening. So that's the program. The whole program will be dedicated to juvenile justice, the issues around Bankshear Hill. Stay tuned to 92.1 RTR FM, Moorish Mag.
You're listening to Moorish Mag with Jim Morrison and a series of guests discussing juvenile justice and the issue of Bankshear Hill in particular. Please note that the interview upcoming with Daniel Morrison we're about to listen to refers to suicide. So take care. The number for 13YARN, they're there to yarn, 13YARN is 139276.
Daniel Morrison, welcome to Moorish Mag on RTR FM 92.1 and Noongar Radio. It's good to talk to you. Firstly, just let our audience know on RTR FM on Noongar Radio who you're mob, where you're from.
Okay, so I'm Noongar Yamaji Gidja, and so I've got family connections throughout the state, and obviously City's Liquor, lived in Perth all my life, and work with Wandjining Aboriginal Corporation, but I'm here in my capacity as co-chair of Social Reinvestment WA.
And of course, you're lucky to be my son. So welcome to Moorish Mag here on RTR FM and Noongar Radio. Busy couple of weeks for you. You've really shone as a leader, I must say. And if you are just my son, I've got to congratulate you on the hard work you've been doing, showing leadership on some issues that are really quite concerning for the Noongar leadership and lots of our supporters and non-Aboriginal. So what's been the big issue, that's challenging us or yourself as far as Social Reinvestment WA is concerned?
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for your kind words, Dad. Youth detention, as it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone listening, I would doubt, has been in crisis for many months now, if not years. It's not our first time when we've had such significant and serious concerns with the youth justice system in WA, particularly Bankshear Hill Youth Detention Centre. I think there's a lot of room for improvements there, but it's been hitting the media quite a lot lately, just with the rolling lockdowns and particularly with the huge attention coming from the Four Corners back on the 14th of November, the Four Corners show in relation to the dangerous restraints that they used within Bankshear Hill. And that hit the media, hit a lot of attention of the community sector. And so there's been big attention on that and a lot of pushback from state government. So we've been in a lot of ways responding to the state government, particularly the Premier, and challenging, wanting a number of changes with the youth justice space. There's been a massive increase to the momentum and to the traction within the, both the Aboriginal community, the wider community, and also prominent non-Aboriginal people, such as Fiona Stanley, even Carmen Lawrence, former Premier of WA, and a number of mainstream community organisations that are right behind Social Reinvestment WA and also backing the Aboriginal leaders that are pushing for change within the youth justice space.
Yes, it's really been encouraging, the level of media and positive media that's been responding to the demands of Social Reinvestment WA. So there's a number of things that that's on the list of urgency. Can you just go through them for our listeners, please?
Yeah, so the main things as far as calls to action that Social Reinvestment WA have been pushing for, we have six priorities for the state government to address this crisis, and that's to investigate failures through an independent inquiry that enables truth-telling and accountability for the behaviour uncovered by Four Corners across the entire youth justice system, and also immediately ban use of dangerous restraints, solitary refinement, and adhere to the WA Supreme Court ruling of maximum hours locked in cells. Number three was commit to specific date publicly to close Unit 18 and transition children back to Banksia Hill. Number four was convene a task force of Aboriginal leaders, independent experts and government to develop and implement immediate changes within youth justice to improve the care provided to children. And number five was commit to developing a whole of government youth justice strategy with direct cabinet oversight, informed by the task force and the blueprint developed by Social Reinvestment WA, and to stop charging, prosecuting and locking up children under the age of 14 who are not old enough by law to drive, vote or get a job, yet we still are able to legally lock them up at Banksia Hill Detention Centre.
Wow. So that's six, well, it's demands really from the Noongar leadership and also people that are supporting our movement with Social Reinvestment WA. Number three was an interesting one. You said let's close, Casuarina, isn't it? That's where the main issue is, where our kids are being locked up in an adult prison.
Yeah, Unit 18 is a unit within Casuarina Maximum Adult Prison. It's maximum security. It's separate from the rest of the prison population, but it's still, in my opinion, it's still a orientation to adult prison. It's a graduation. Young people are graduating from Banksia Hill to Casuarina, and that's something that we're wanting to steer away from. Banksia Hill is meant to be a deterrent, meant to be a place where young people go to get therapeutic support and services and rehabilitation type services. So they don't reoffend, they don't end up graduating to adult maximum security prisons. But by giving them that exposure to adult prison settings, I think is really developing a pathway, a real pathway for young people to know what to expect when they go to adult prison, maximum security prisons. I think that should be steered away from, and I don't think it's a good result or good outcome for the whole community. Definitely not in keeping with the keeping the community safe. I think they're going to come out worse than what they've gone in with.
We're talking to Daniel Morrison, co-chair of Social Reinvestment WA. Daniel, we'll go to a song break and come back some more to hear of your concerns of what's happening with young people at the moment in detention. Let's go to a song.
Awesome.
Go back, Noongar people, to the values of before. Gain strength from your culture, the spiritual dreaming war. Seek shelter from the vulture of colonial oppressors' law.
Welcome back. We're talking to Daniel Morrison, co-chair of Social Reinvestment WA. He's had a tough couple of months, really, looking at the issues around juvenile detention, and particularly Bankshear, and I guess the stance that the government is taking, which has really been disappointing. And there's a number of people that have spoken out in recent times, and even Fiona Stanley, the public hospital is named after a wonderful Australian. She was Australian of the Year. What are the serious concerns that has been talked about in the last week that a number of people are concerned about the welfare of the children that are in the adult prison?
Well, there's a number of concerns. There's a number of concerns around self-harming, attempting suicide. That's been a concern that's been raised within the community, and feedback from people that have been in the facility as well as people that are currently there. There's been a number of attempts that have come back to the group. The concerns and from the families of those young people, not being able to be in contact with them, hearing from the young people that they've been locked up majority of the day, so up to 22 hours a day where they've been locked in their cell, and not really provided any social support or any therapeutic support around while they're in the facility. And so if you can imagine at any age, you're locked up in a cell for 22 hours a day, I think anyone mental health would be put at risk. Right. And so there, a large portion of that the state government is saying is due to staffing concerns or staffing issues. They're not able to attract and retain the appropriate number of staff to be able to adequately support the facility on a 24/7 basis. Mm. But I don't think that's a good enough reason. I think these are our children in these facilities. They need the appropriate support. We hope that our young people go into these facilities and get the opportunities around therapeutic support as well as rehabilitation, so they do come out better than what they went in with. And the issue that we have, roughly 35% of these kids are wards of the state as well. So they've got that extra support that's needed to be able to get the right supports. Their parent is the state government, end of the day. The ministerial responsibility of these kids need to be taken into account. And then we've got a number of mental health concerns and comorbidities, whether it's alcohol and drugs or mental health concerns with these young people as well. So there needs to be a large amount of services that are going in there supporting these young people, which I believe isn't happening at the moment.
Right.
There have been numerous requests from ACOs within the sector, Aboriginal Community Controlled Organisations, whether it be Derby Yerrigan Health Service or Yorgham Healing Service, I think, and they haven't been given the access to this facility to provide these services to our people, to our young people, end of the day.
What's happening in other states around the age of criminality, or I guess the charging of children? Things are different in other states, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the two territories within Australia, they're a bit more progressive. They're really pushing for it a lot sooner. All the attorney generals from each of the states and territories across Australia, they're meeting regularly and they're working out how that can be done. We're getting that the Premier is committed to having that discussion at a national level. But I would like that he focus on WA and do the right thing by WA, not waiting for other states and territories and to see how they're going to act or react. I think we as a state need to do the right thing by our children, and we should be leading the way, not waiting for other states to see what they do.
Daniel Morrison, co-chair, Social Reinvestment Western Australia. So what do you expect to happen now? What do you want to see happen now? Where to from here?
Well, we're not going to stop pushing for these calls to action. I think that's on the back of representing up to 30 not-for-profit organisations that make up the membership of Social Reinvestment WA, and also with the working with Aboriginal leaders across the Perth metropolitan region, and that's growing as well to becoming more statewide, really pushing for these asks or these calls to action to be implemented, and for government to take it on. We really do need a independent inquiry so we know what we're dealing with, so we can draw a line in the sand, what's available to the community, what's available to this youth justice system. And it's more than just Banksy Hill. It's more than Unit 18 at Casuarina Prison. It's the whole youth justice system, from the time young people first get arrested to the time that they are released from detention or court orders. It's not just about Banksy Hill. We need to be doing better as a community, as a society, with nurturing our young people so they are role model citizens and work and getting the rehab and support at such a young age when they've had such traumatic upbringing and experiences. We need to be doing the right things by them and their families.
Good. Thank you, Daniel. Finally, then, the Social Reinvestment WA, it's a strategic planning and vision. That's been happening for quite some years, yes? Where did it start?
Yeah. Well, it started back in 2013 when we had a very similar issue with Banksy Hill at the time, where we had a huge riot happening at Banksy Hill, where 70 young people were moved from Banksy Hill Detention Centre to Haikia Remand Centre. And so a similar situation where young people were moved into a maximum security prison, and while there had to be repairs at Banksy Hill. And then Social Reinvestment WA came into action then. We had a couple not-for-profit organisations and peak bodies come together, and we understood the need for Aboriginal organisations and Aboriginal community to get together and really advocate on behalf of the families and the young people that are caught up in this youth justice system. We had young people being moved from Banksia to Haikia, and parents of these young people had no idea what was happening with their young people. So it was advocating on their behalf. We were coming up with solutions, coming up with priorities that we wanted the state government to work on. And we wanted to work with the state government to address these issues. But for some time, we were just falling on deaf ears. Our advice, our ideas of solution, we were not getting the appropriate responses. Developed the campaign over time, and we've done a lot of work within the sector. We added and challenged state government around the fine default reforms, which later on that got changed, the legislation got changed, so we don't see people going into prison to pay off fines anymore, which is great. We also have, now we're doing a lot of work in relation to Raise the Age campaign, where, as I said earlier, we have kids as young as 10 can be locked up at Banksy Hill, and does happen sometimes. And so we want that to be not an available option. We want young people to stay with families and to be supported in the community, not in a prison environment.
Daniel, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to your father here on Moorish Mag, RTRFM 92.1 and Noongar Radio. Really appreciate your leadership, and good luck with, let's hope that we can make some changes, and your work will encourage that to happen with the state government. Thank you for your time, Daniel. Welcome, Hannah McGlade, to Moorish Mag here on 92.1 and Noongar Radio. Hannah, there's some really interesting things happening in our community around Banksia Hill. But before I kick off, I know you're a regular and a friend of Moorish Mag, but tell our listeners who you mob and where you're from.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be yarning again. So I'm from the Menang Kurin people. My mum, Ming Lee, came up here many years ago. I was born in here, Perth, in Borloo. And, Noongar. So, part of this community.
Thanks, Hannah. Look, I guess the events of the past few months have been pretty distressing and pretty challenging for Noongar. but more so around the issues around Bankshear and our kids being locked up in an adult facility. You've been involved in the leadership group with Daniel Morrison, my son, who's vice chair of Social Reinvestment WA, and some talks even last Sunday with Fiona Stanley and Carmen Lawrence and a few other people. But the Noongar leadership group have taken this up to government. What are your thoughts and how are you feeling about the whole thing at the moment, Hannah?
Well, we are really speaking up for the children and youth at risk in Bankshear and Casuarina, and we know that these are very serious issues. The Four Corners program, in fact, showed a young Aboriginal boy having food thrown at the ground, and when he became upset by that, quite a few officers tackled him, and he was restrained in such a manner. It was is very dangerous to his life, actually. This folding up restraint has been banned in Queensland, and nobody even seemed to know, actually, that they were doing this to Aboriginal youth, using a dangerous restraint that can actually kill young people or kill children. They were using it on the youth at Bankshear, and you know, many of the youth also at risk of self-harm because of these horrific conditions of solitary confinement that just goes on and on, potentially for months on end. You know, and many of the children also have disabilities, so we're really very concerned, and we're speaking up very loud and clear to the state government. We have called for an inquiry because this conduct is unlawful, and it's certainly a violation of the human rights of the children and young people. It violates the Convention on the Rights of the Child. It violates the UN Convention on Race Discrimination. And it's unlawful, according to the Supreme Court. It's against the Young Offenders Act, and the ALS brought a successful case to the court this year, which, you know, that what the state is doing is not even abiding by their own laws, and they blame the children, they blame the youth for this, and yet they are creating, you know, these very damaging conditions, causing young people, understandably, to be upset, young people who are being abused.
Yeah, and people have been really outspoken. The Australian of the Year, Fiona Stanley, and has made some comments to the media, and you know, she, I guess she has a right to do that, but some of the things she said has been quite challenging, I think, and you know, it's quite ridiculous for the Minister for Corrective Services suggesting that Aboriginal people cannot work in that environment because they'll get too upset. But also the fact that he's suggested that they will recruit African people to take place of Aboriginal people. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, you know, it's really so shocking that the Minister for Corrections, who does not engage respectfully with Aboriginal people, we know that, that he would make such an appalling and racist statement to Professor Stanley and the Aboriginal people who were invited at the last minute to the summit. Originally, our community were actually excluded, showing the government's, again, lack of respect to Aboriginal people, lack of respect to our human rights, our fundamental rights to self-determination. Now, this comment is appalling, and we do need to talk about it. The inspector, the custodial inspector, has documented in his reports on Bankshear that Aboriginal staff who work there have actually been censured for building positive relationships with young people, young Aboriginal people. Now, isn't that exactly what youth, you know, incarcerated in Bankshear need? They need, you know, they need to have their own people building those positive relationships. This is very difficult for them, and we want to put them on the right path.
Me
and
too.
To just say, you know, we'll bring in Africans as if that is a solution to just continually, you know, oppress really Aboriginal
yeah.
people in that way.
So, you know, he's obviously making reference because they're you know, Africans are black too, so they would be familiar with the situation. No, how that is, you're right, it's appalling. Now, Hannah, we've talked many times on Moorish Mag about, you know, you come with a wealth of experience, you're a lawyer, you're a human rights lawyer. So just a little bit about the UN and how they should be considering this appalling situation in Australia. And what other states are doing that we aren't doing around, you know, lifting the age of, is it called criminality?
The age of criminal responsibility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, look, the UN has treaty bodies who are experts in certain areas of human rights, and we have the Committee on the Rights of the Child. And I've attended those meetings when they've reviewed Australia over, you know, over the last two meetings spanning back more than a decade. Now, those experts making up the committee are horrified at Australia's treatment of Indigenous children, particularly the young age of 10 years for criminalisation of Indigenous children. It's one of the youngest ages in the world, and there have been over 50 countries in the process known as Universal Periodic Review, which we also agree to, who have told Australia that this is unacceptable and they need to raise the age. The UN committee says 14 is the minimum age that should be set. The UN Committee on Race Discrimination has condemned the three strikes mandatory detention laws, which deny judges any discretion in relation to sentencing children and youth once it is established that certain offences have been committed. Now, these laws go against the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which really supports the principle very clearly that incarceration of children should always be a matter of last resort.
Yes. We're talking to Hannah McGlade, a human rights lawyer, legal lawyer from Noongar country, and been on the shows many times before. Hannah, we're going to go to a song, and I want to come back and talk to you, you know, what now, where to from here, and what are we expecting from government in the future. So let's go to a song, and we'll come back and have another yarn. Welcome back to Moorish Mag here on RTRFM. We're talking with Hannah McGlade, a human rights lawyer, friend of Moorish Mag, and been on the show many times talking about a whole range of issues, particularly around children and domestic violence. But the challenge for us at the moment is what the government are doing about Banksia Hill. And we've got young children, incarcerated at an adult prison. So, Anna, thanks again for being on the show and taking time on RTRFM, Moorish Mag and Noongar Radio. Where to from here then, Anna? What's your thoughts on what government should do?
Well, we need them to behave in a lawful manner. They need to ensure they comply with the Young Offenders Act, and they need to, just as importantly, make sure that they also comply with our international human rights obligations. They are binding treaty obligations, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, the Convention on Race Discrimination, and it's really long overdue. You know, the Convention on Children actually prohibits this kind of mistreatment, and I particularly want to go back to solitary confinement because, again, that is against human rights law. Children, people with disability should never be put into solitary confinement. That's what's happening. It's highly dangerous. That's why it's prohibited. Mm. So we have to increase our commitment to human rights, but we're seeing a government that seems to pay no regard at all to human rights, to not respect Aboriginal people. We were actually excluded from the summit that was recently announced, and Daniel and Gail Beck from the Aboriginal Advisory Committee were really invited at last minute.
Yes, so a bit of an afterthought. Hannah McGlade, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on Moorish Mag and Noongar Radio. Look forward to talking to you some more. Maybe in a little while we'll talk some more about where it's going, because obviously we are concerned about the kids and the self-harm issues that are likely to occur over a busy period, which is Christmas. Very stressful time for us. Anna, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Hi, I'm Calvin Pell, and you're listening to Moorish Mag on RTR 92.1 FM.
Hello, Dennis Reynolds. How are you today?
Good, thanks, Jim. How are you going?
Good. Welcome to RTR FM, Moorish Mag and Noongar Radio. Dennis,
thanks for the kind invitation.
No, it's a pleasure to have you. You're concerned too, like a lot of the Noongar leadership, around the juvenile justice issues, Banksia Hill in particular. Tell us your concerns and how you've been involved for such a long time, Dennis. A bit of background of where you come from and what you've previously been doing.
Well, I was the president of the Children's Court of Western Australia for 14 years, Jim, from 2004 through to 2018, and during that time I dealt with more children and more Aboriginal children than any other judge in Australia, spoke with them, read more psychological, psychiatric pre-sentence reports than any other judge in Australia. I made it my way of dealing with children, to get to know them, speak with them, and as best I could to give them a fair outcome when they appeared before me. So I have a sense of the children that are now in Banksia and also in Casuarina. Mm. And can I just say, the children now are no more difficult than children that appeared before me and children that came to the court before I even went to the court. Mm. The children present with the same issues. Some of them may be given a different name of by way of diagnosis, perhaps like fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, ADHD, post-traumatic stress disorder, but the children presented with all of the symptoms of those things when they appeared before me. So I believe I have a good sense, and probably better than most people, on the children that are currently at Banksia and also Casuarina. And I have a good idea on how they behave and why they behave and when they would behave in certain ways.
Yeah. So it's caused a lot of stress and trauma, I guess, for a lot of Aboriginal people, Noongar people and Aboriginal people across the state. What's the answer then? Is the system broken? What needs to happen to improve the situation, Dennis?
Well, there are a number of layers of issues. The primary issue at the moment is the punitive, inhumane and also unlawful treatment of children at Banksia and also Casuarina. The regimes have become hard, the facility is hard. Indeed, it's worse than adult prisons. So that's the focal point for the moment, is to stop the department from behaving and treating children inhumanely, unlawfully. And then, of course, there are the bigger issues within youth justice. How do you support children who offend in the bigger scheme of things, like therapeutic, culturally informed interventions rather than the old punitive prison model intervention that has been used, forever, really. So it's a case of, in the bigger scheme of things, government and departments are continuing to deliver the same failed model and expecting a different result.
Mm. We're talking to Dennis Reynolds, previous president of the Perth Children's Court, and looking for answers, really, I suppose, is what our community can expect from government. We did ask for a review of the system. Are you supportive of a review? Rather than talk about Royal Commission, are you supportive of a review of the system?
Absolutely. I think there needs to be an independent review of the system, the department. From my observations, the department is very secretive. It's somewhat loose in being accurate with information that it gives. I think the ABC program a couple of weeks ago that showed the young person put in a particular hole face down on the floor of a cell shows that there are things that happen at Banksia that aren't recorded or alternatively are kept secret. So we don't really know the full extent of the problem until we get in there and try and establish the truth of what goes on in that place. What we do know is that what goes on is inhumane and unlawful. And when I say that advisedly, because there have been rolling lockdowns where children are confined for in excess of 20 hours a day on numerous days and often on consecutive days. There are situations where children, other than rolling lockdowns, are placed in solitary confinement for 20 to 24 hours a day. And these children have neurodevelopmental impairments, layers of trauma. Even a child without those issues be confined in solitary confinement with no social interaction, family can and not exhibit some negative behaviour, e.g. damage to a cell or assault an officer. The children are not more difficult. The behaviour we're seeing is a direct consequence of the inhumane, unlawful treatment of them. Mm. And that's the point that the press and the minister will not accept.
Right.
But that's the fact of the matter.
Sure. Now, finally, thanks for being on the program and expressing your views. If you had a chance to meet with the Premier this week, what would you be saying to him?
Well, I'd be saying that the issue, Mr. Premier, is not that the community is expecting and but not getting children who commit murder, and there's no child in Banksia or Casuarina for murder, but children, he's saying things like children who commit murder, rape, serious assaults like grievous bodily harm, attempt to bring planes out of the sky. He's saying, well, he has a different point of view to other people who he's branded as activists, but he thinks detention should be imposed for those kinds of offences. That's not the issue. Those children who commit offences like that are sent to detention. So the community needs to be informed that that's not an issue. That does happen. Mm. The issue here is how the children are treated when they go to detention. They need to be treated humanely, lawfully, and rehabilitated. So when they come out of detention, they've had all the therapeutic services that can be provided, and they're safer and the community safer. And can I say, in terms of turning Banksia and Casuarina around, my personal view is that it could be turned around very quickly, and I'm talking in terms of a month or two. It could be turned around very quickly if you let Aboriginal families go into those facilities, if you let Aboriginal medical services, mental health services, such as Derbal Yerrigan, if you let those services go in, the families go in, start to engage children in recreational, educational activities, and try and change the culture of those people that work there, and in particular the people that manage the place, it can be turned around very quickly.
Good. Dennis Reynolds, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you talking to me on Mudich Mag and Noongar Radio, 92.1 and 100.9 Noongar Radio. Well, there you have it, Mudich Mag for another week here on RTR FM and Noongar Radio, sharing with you our concerns of juvenile justice and in particular Banksia Hill. Quite distressing, but we felt we needed to share that with you because it is quite a concern within the Aboriginal community right across the state, and I'm sure it must concern you that children are being locked up in an adult prison. So thank you for your company. Look forward to your company again on 92.1 Mudich Mag next week. Look forward to sharing your company again.